Hi, everybody. This is Jean Norton. Thanks so much for coming on a Saturday afternoon. I'm really excited about this call because you guys, those of you that are so dedicated are the first to know about the official announcement of the Chicago field trip. And I'm really, really excited about this because I don't know how many of you know, but the last year or so, I've just seen a change in the people that are showing up at the field trips and their level of expertise. And I am finding myself getting away from those that I originally really wanted to help. And that was the people that just needed a little bit more help from, you know, somebody that's done it, that's been through what they've been through, that, you know, doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money. And so I've made some big changes in the field trip, and it's starting in Chicago. So I'm really delighted to invite you guys to consider coming to Chicago December 6th through 8th. Actually, it's 6th through 7th is the Chicago field trip. And the link for that is jeannorton.com/Chicago, and there is an early bird discount of $500 off. So there's the discount code is Chicago, and you can get $500 off. But one of the things that that I noticed is that there are some people in the group, because one of the bonuses, I don't know how much everybody knows this, but one of the bonuses of coming to a field trip is you can come to future field trips at 50% off. So after doing this for a few years, I've got people that are coming and that are advanced and doing deals, and you know, the original reason I started these field trips is because people were frustrated. They couldn't get a deal. Something wasn't working just right for them, or it wasn't, you know, whatever they were taught wasn't working in their area. And, you know, so I found myself sort of getting a classroom with two sets of skill sets. And I was talking to a man this last week, you know, brand new into real estate, doesn't have the, you know, $50,000 to spend on a guru bus tour. And it just sort of sparked me. It sort of touched me into the real reason I got into these real estate field trips to begin with, and that is just to help, you know, fill the gaps, show you the system that's working, and, you know, basically get you comfortable with thinking outside of the box when it comes to where you invest in real estate and how it can all work for you. So I'm really excited to tell you about the Chicago field trip. It is the weekend after Thanksgiving, and again, it will be Friday and Saturday for the field trip. I do have a real estate intensive on Sunday, which goes deeper into the actual business of real estate investing and rehabbing. I don't have the hotel lined up yet, but it is going to be a downtown Chicago hotel, so it will be a lot of fun, some restaurants nearby, et cetera. And let me go over the 10 billion bonuses you get. One, you get not only the secret Facebook group called the Jean Norton Super Secret Society of Real Estate Investors, but you also have access to all of the free, you know, all of the slides from previous field trips and all of the contacts from other field trips, other contractors, hard money lenders, et cetera. And we've also support each other pretty well in that group. So what I promised you was I was going to tell you why you needed to go, how you can make the money. And I can't remember what else was in that email. But you know, if you have done any kind of real estate training and haven't gotten your first deal, this will help you a lot. I see so many people come out of the real estate seminars or whatever, and they just are like thinking, well, nobody's bringing me deals, or, you know, nobody's returning my calls, or how can I get a proof of funds? And, you know, there's just a lot of misset expectations, and we spend a lot of time covering, you know, how to get all of the pieces to click together. So I want to go ahead and invite you, if you've got any questions, the star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. If you've got any questions about a field trip in the past or this one coming up or anything that has to do with real estate, I'm more than happy to entertain your questions. Again, a star 6 will get you in the real estate queue. But again, I'm real excited about how, you know, I've been struggling on how can I, you know, continue with those that follow and are a little bit more advanced. I think the Seattle field trip, I think everybody had already done a deal once or twice, and I just felt like I was not serving those that maybe hadn't ever done a deal. And those are the people that really need my help the most. And so I'm really delighted that I've come up with this plan and partnering with a group in Chicago that will, you know, that has an existing system in place and runs multiple contractors, multiple crews, and they're going to, for the actual intensive, they're going to help for those that want to go to the intensive on Sunday, do a deep dive into the actual business and the business workings of running multiple contractors that have multiple crews. So anyway, you've got your choice. You can do a field trip, you can do an intensive, or you can do both. One of the programs that I offer is called the Elite Membership, and that is a one-year-long program. And if you want to talk to me about it at any time, I welcome you know, talking to you about it. The people that are in the Elite program have certainly gotten their money's worth by far, and because one of the things they get is they get to go to all of these field trips, even intensives, for free. So if anybody's got any questions, go ahead and press a star 6, and that'll get you in the Q&A queue. If anybody's got any real estate questions, horror stories, money-making opportunities, you can press a star 6 and get in the queue. Otherwise, I did finally close on, I did close on my Virginia Beach condo, and I am supposed to close on my property that I've got in Chicago that has been hanging on way too long. So that should be closing this week. And so I'm just, at this point personally, I'm just kind of regrouping and sort of assessing where I am money-wise and determining how to move forward. I still am torn between Florida and Chicago because those locations are both just really great opportunities right now. You know, whether you want to invest for the long term or the short term, one of the things that I'm seeing a change in strategies for real estate investors, and I think it's important to watch out for this, because anybody that knows about, you know, accumulating wealth, that, you know, real estate investing, it's holding on to real estate, and that's where the real wealth comes from. And flipping is just getting you a little bit here and a little bit there, and we're seeing some opportunities and even some financing opportunities for those that are like me that might be credit challenged, because, you know, for whatever reason, for me, it's because I'm self-employed. But you could borrow money. I'm seeing a lot more of this where you can borrow money to fix up a house, to make it rent ready, and get a tenant in there, and then refinance it. You know, even if the credit markets are still too strict, you can refinance it at a higher interest rate and still cash flow in some areas. So I've got a few people that I know that we are looking into that as a business model, and that we're looking at incorporating that into our teachings next year. And even in Chicago, the guy that I'm partnering up with there does both the rehab to resell and the rehab to rent. And anyway, I'm really delighted about this change in events and this opportunity. Money has just been way too hard to get all this time, and I'm glad to see that we're seeing some loosening of the purse strings. And so anyway, if anybody's got any questions, statements, concerns, a star six will get you in the Q&A queue. Otherwise, just for what's going on in the nation, we're seeing South Florida still, still in an appreciation mode. Okay, hold on. We've got a question. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Jean. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Congratulations on Virginia Beach, and congratulations coming up on Chicago.
Oh, well, that one is, we're ready
that's
to get
that. That's the Michigan one, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, maybe feng shui worked.
Well, it might, I don't know. You can give the feng shui a compliment, give it credit or not. I don't care. I just want
yeah.
soul.
As long as it closes.
Yeah.
I have a question about Chicago and what I'm finding with the lenders in Chicago. And, a whole bunch of us are, Armando trained, and we're used to having people, gap funders, and second lien position, and that isn't always a problem, but it seems to be a problem in Chicago. And the lenders don't want seconds, many of them, and the ones that do seem to be high priced. So the ones who understand you can't use because they're too expensive, but the ones who are more reasonable, don't want seconds. And so what is an alternative for your gap funder to feel safe without being in second lien position?
Do you have a diamond ring?
Yeah.
Okay, there
well,
you go.
Well, actually, I have a sapphire ring.
Yeah, really, I come across hard money lenders and funders, and, I've got a team here in Austin, and, it's a gap funder and a hard money lender, and they work great together. And I don't know if he actually files a second position or not, but, the hard money lender's name is Romney. The gap funder's name is Vince. So Romney even admits that he fought Vince for years until the light bulb just went off in his head and said, wow, Vince not only understands about rehabbing real estate, he's got the money, he is sort of my extra insurance policy because Vince doesn't want to lose his money. And if the deal goes south, then Vince will come in and take over and run the project like it's supposed to be. And so Romney actually feels a little bit better when he's got that particular gap funder. The person that's borrowing with those two on their side are really in a benefit because they've got the knowledge and the sharing and the support of two very accomplished financial people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that side. Then I can also see the other side where hard money lenders don't want any seconds in place because that makes it very difficult to get the property back if something goes wrong. So I think it's a blessing when you can find two that will work together really well like that, but it's not going to come, it's all going to be based on their relationships and their successes.
Now, I have been told that, in fact, the fact that there's a second makes it harder to foreclose. Of course, that makes me say, how often do you foreclose? And most of the time, the answer is never. So if
right.
So it's an insurance policy for them to be first and not have a second, but it's not anything that they've really had to practically apply in terms of foreclosing and having to, quote, argue with a second or get the second out of the way or whatever, okay? So
yeah.
It's this mental thing, and I guess my question would be, you know, I work with them and I talk with them, and some of them are listening, some of them don't want to hear it at all.
Right.
So who is there in Chicago that we've worked with as lenders that's okay with gap funders? Do we
know
lenders in Chicago who are, or who like Chicago, that are okay with gap funders being in second position?
You know, the problem is with Chicago and, well, all of Illinois, is that the competition for private money isn't as hyper-competitive, I guess, as it is like in California. I mean, you can find people in California that will work with gap funders all day long because the prices are going up as they work on the properties. So they're not worried about that. The first money I tried to get to was like an 18% and 10 points. And, you know,
wow.
I just found, yeah, wow, I was right. So we've used Dan Rosen a couple of times, and he's spoken to the group, and his rates change. You know, and I've heard, you know, there's been some challenges, you know, good and bad. And I don't know if he works with gap funders or not, but you know, you don't have to have somebody in a second position they don't have to be in a second position and still have something, you know, unsecured. Like I said, send them your diamond ring or something, you know, or put it in an escrow spot or something so that if it doesn't get paid, then they've got something. You know, there are other things.
Dan doesn't like seconds. He's
okay.
One of the ones that I'm talking with and trying to educate around, you know, how we work with gap funders. Because he likes the fact that more of us are coming to Chicago, but we're, you know, he's not experienced and educated with us when we work with gap funders.
Well, and I think with Illinois, the problem is that if there is another lien on the property, then it makes it very difficult for them to just, you know, have a nice, friendly, hey, give me the deed in lieu of foreclosure. And then the other side is Illinois is a judicial state, so it takes a long time to actually go through the foreclosure process. And
yeah,
that's really the only way to...
Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really the only way to eliminate that second lien position. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, everything's negotiable. I mean, it could be that there might be a second lien position, but I don't know if the first gets the deed. You know, you do some kind of deal that just says that the lien will, I don't know.
Okay.
Just
does anybody on the call know?
I don't know, but I do have somebody else with a question, so it could be.
Okay.
Let me go on to the next question.
Okay.
This is a 919 area code.
Hi, Dean. This is Cliff.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I do have a question. I'm considering building a website, maybe two websites, to help me gain more leads. I am currently wholesaling for the time being to build up some cash so I can begin to purchase and hold. And I didn't know if you have any ideas for a website that's really good for drawing people in, maybe like a honeypot-type website, you know, for people who want to get rid of their house, they need to, for, you know, one reason or another. And maybe if you know another website that's really good for working with investors out there.
You know, I have seen several of those types of things out there that are available. I've seen them at all different price points. And so the answer is I don't have any I can recommend.
Okay.
Just don't pay like $2,000 a month or something like that.
No. I can develop websites. I can do that. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for some type of a template or an idea that I can get some ideas
from. Yeah. I would just look around at others, and, you know, basically you're just trying to capture information. So, like, I use AWeber for my mailing list, and you
okay.
can certainly use that and then put that into your, you know, into your website, which is what
sure.
I do. In fact, I was even thinking, you know, I should probably put a, you know, sell Junior House, you know, link up there
okay.
on my website. And I just haven't done it yet, but it's just a matter of some kind of a lead capture. Now, you know, when I first started in, you know, in this business, I started looking into those kind of websites, and what got to me was that they were all the same, so the search engines weren't picking it up because they were duplicates, and it was just real hard to customize it.
So maybe if I do something a little bit different than the other sites where it stands out, then I have a chance of being found in the searches.
Yeah. Now, there's actually, depending on how big you want to get, there's a lady, I don't know her personally, but, you know, I see her, you know, on the Facebook pages and stuff, and her name is Tracy Kaywood, and she's got a membership site that uses some kind of a customized CRM system. So she's okay. Customized Zoho. But you might, I think her property, her website is called Property Mob. PropertyMob.com. You can take a look at that. That might, you know, that might help.
Okay. What type of information are you asking for with AWeber when they do an opt-in?
Well,
what's your exchange?
What's my? Well, I just ask for name and phone number because I don't, you know, I'm not. My website is more to for my blogs and field trips and education and all of that. I don't really have a, you know, a house buying website.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I get people that hand me deals all the time. I just got a spreadsheet with, you know, tons of deals. And then I've got somebody else that says, hey, Gene, you know, we've got tons of money. We want to buy properties. So, you know, it's sort of all come to me sort of organically.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you're new at this, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did when I got started was blogging. And
okay.
Another place you can go is biggerpockets.com. There's lots of free information in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just
the blogging, you know, you don't have to be a great writer. Lord knows I'm not. In fact, somebody came back to me and shamed me with all the spelling errors I had, so, you know.
Oh,
yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect. You're just telling a story, and how you feel about it, and what you thought about it, and if you were surprised, or because Lord knows, there's been a lot of surprises that I've seen.
Okay, that's a really good way, I imagine, to get your name out there and become an expert, because I guess through the process, you will learn. And what you're placing
right.
out there forces what you're picking up. People see that you're educated in what you're providing, and people become drawn to you.
And that is what happened. Blogger is a free resource, and that's how I started, was with Blogger. And, gosh, I don't know how far I was into it, but at one point somebody just says, well, I'll fund your next deal. And I have an ebook also on my site at GeneNorton.com that you can look at. It's how I attract, how to be a cash magnet for your real estate deals. And it started with Blogger. So
okay.
There's lots of free resources in there. But you're right. You know, the whole thing about it, attracting money for your deals or buyers is you have to be shown as an expert in your field, and you have to, you know, prove that you are. That's, you know, people aren't going to just throw money around just because you have a good deal, other than what, you know, contrary to what the gurus say. You know, I've seen plenty of people lose out on deals because they didn't establish their credibility. They just says, oh, I've got this deal and I'm going to lose my deposit and blah, 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 you know, but, you know, really, if you have some kind of credibility, if you can be shown as an expert, And by the way, have a deal, a good deal with a good profit spread, you know, you'll do fine.
Wow, that's great advice. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, we've got another question. This is the 817 area code. Hello?
Hello, Jean.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Who's this?
This is Greg Jean in Keller, Texas.
Oh, hi, Greg. Yes, we need to get together and talk.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. I just jumped on board here after the opening of this session and very intrigued, especially like the last conversation. Just calling to ask, what is easiest for you? Because I know you're busier than Carter Makes Pills these days. What is the easiest contact?
Well, we can talk anytime you like. I don't know if you missed the announcement of the Chicago field trip, but I do have a field trip coming up in Chicago. So, I can talk to you either after this call or tomorrow.
Okay. We get each other's email address. I'll just shoot another test email, and we can do that. I guess, long story short, I've attempted this in a part-time manner. I've done some projects out of state. I like that thinking of yours that, you know, why box yourself in your own community or just around your community? I guess what it comes down to is wannabes seem like they come in my circle, and it's nothing wrong. I have two other businesses, one that's 30 years old, and I'm just trying to get that product knowledge and the program down. And of course, it does take working with professionals who understand. And when I say by understand, I'm saying that knows how to use their common sense. And that seems to be the number one lacking tool that might separate someone who could be good at this to being great and vice versa. So that's what I'm looking at. And even the ones I've seen that are good maybe lack in organization and I've offered to, you know, step forward in that capacity. But just reading your materials and things like this, I thought, you know, there's nothing wrong but asking and talking and moving forward if all seems that's the direction we're headed.
Well, you've already got a lot of good things going for you. One, that you've got other businesses. And I think that's one thing that that a lot of people don't realize is when you go into real estate, you know, you're an entrepreneur, and you just are using real estate as the target of your business. So if you've done other businesses, acted in an entrepreneurial capacity in any other way, then, you know, I think you've got a lot of the, you know, I think you're way ahead.
I appreciate that. You know, when I was like 18, 20, my mid-20s, you know, I used to buy vacant land here and there, but I never heard the word investment only if we were thinking of banking or retirement or 401ks. If I heard the word investor, I'm thinking not even in the real estate box at all. And it wasn't until later years that I found this out. And so I suppose maybe in a small way when you're buying a property here or there, and even though it was vacant land, maybe I was an investor. Maybe the cloud of the industry was more, you know, behind the scenes, where the world we live in the last, you know, 5 years has made it a forefront to where it's almost like there's investor university now that you go to, like a college, and then what are you going to do with your degree? That's fine. I'm all for people making money and education, but that doesn't mean I have to step aside and start over again, because like you said, if you can bring something to the table now, I mean, isn't the bottom line making money? That's all I'm interested in. Besides, you know, maybe helping others, because in my one business, it's all about help, because it's surrounded with medical equipment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's definitely, you know, what it's all about is, you know, everybody has to win. There are deals, there are partners, there are people that are working together, and if everybody doesn't win, then it's not going to work. So, you know, I think it's important to know that. You know, there are some people that, you know, like I said, there are some people that just can't get out of the what am I supposed to do box. And those that have had their own business and, you know, like you, and even though you might say I never considered myself as an investor, there's a lot of other things that are coming into play here, too. Like, you know, a real estate investor, well, oh, you're, you know, one hoity-toity real estate investor. Well, that's not necessarily true. You just buy land here and there. And, you know, at what point do you say you're a real estate investor? When I talk to people or when I do my networking in different places and they'll say, what do you do? And I say, well, I invest in real estate. And, you know, I think that's a little bit more disarming. than saying, "Oh, I'm a real estate investor."
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, you and I can't worry about what other people's thinking is, or you know, because they want to be a fruitcake. I mean, that's their business. Professional people move forward, and when the negatives are there, they find the positives. That's what it's all about. And you and I, as entrepreneurs, understand that. But this is, you know, someone asked, "Well, what brings you as a magnet to real estate?" Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think if you can master it for the resume you want to build, it's a great way you can do it until you're 95, even if you decide you want to be a silent partner in a situation. So, you know, I even know what's going on. And like I said, I've dabbled into some properties. There was a property in Indiana. A gentleman had bought it from California, hooked up through a ABC website, and where there's a lot of blogging, advertising, and all kinds of goody stuff. And, you know, I signed a deal with them on a contract that I found from other professionals and ran it by my legal team. And my legal team was kind of befuddled because it was common English. And I said, "Well, that's how I've always built myself around is smarter people than me. I don't need the wherefores and thou loves, you know. That's what will right. You know, get me on the sideline." But long story short, we got this, you know, with no money down, fully owner financed, and we were only talking like $20,000. But I knew it wasn't the greatest end of Indianapolis because I've done business up there. The problem was this neighborhood had even gotten four times worse. So there was like a drug house torn down next door, things like that. An elementary school that's always has cops there that you thought it was the day after 9/11, something like that. And of course, that's my issue. But my other issue was I brought somebody on who, you know, you and I talk to people all the time, and you the more you talk, you think, you know what, they're just raw in their talent, but they seem to have the smarts, and I could maybe work with that person in this project. Well, when the first payment came, she says, "Well, you know, I can't make my half." We're talking like it was like $1.75. So, and she says, "Well, you know, my husband's not going to pay for." I mean, it was like total opposite. So I'm just mentioning that one particular example to say, on my camp, I have doubled into this. I didn't have to put a penny in my money that I don't want to put into. And yet, when I give someone a chance to even help, that we could help each other, because I did see some positives, then all of a sudden when, you know, by the way, her signature was on this real estate contract, then it was nothing. So I never got anyone in there, but after a year I did find another buyer that the owner of the note was willing to carry on. So I got there. I had to put some money into it, obviously, for maintenance, like lawn maintenance and everything. Uh-huh. But so, like I said, I use that as an indicator just to give you an idea what my experiences are and how I've gotten there. And at the same time, you know, try to bring somebody on, and that's what happened. So there's been oodles of those nice people. But, you know, I just need to grab on someone's coattails with that professional that says, "Well, it sounds like you have bird dog talents. I don't mind being a scout." You know.
I mean, you've already been part of, you know, a fairly complex transaction. You know, buying something owner finance and then selling it subject to the existing finance. I mean, that's all stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't even know about.
Yeah. Well, there's a property probably 15 minutes from my home and a stone throw from the old church. But I put my daughter in there who is out of state. She'll be coming back to Texas, but she's a pastor. And I'm housing up her husband right now because he just got a job down here in ministry. So he's with me. And but when my granddaughter was born, you know, we had to put him in a place because they got kicked out. Now they couldn't handle the third floor apartment. So on my very first transaction, I found someone who did the owner finance. This was a year old home, and this was a seasoned veteran. And I got in for a couple thousand down. Payments were about $800. The property was just under a year old, because the young lady who had it, when her boyfriend left, she couldn't make the payments. So, you know, he saved her, but he did it through a trust thing. And
yeah.
Through the trust, I mean, I read it, and I'll tell you, I had two different attorneys looking at it, and they were more confused than a dog, you know, standing there and you're barking
it.
At
I
it.
I know it.
So,
I know.
So anyway, and then some of them they say is illegal and not illegal. And I looked at it this way. You know, in the long run, sure, my name was, you know, on a warranty deed that's recorded with the county. But in reality, you know, I had everything looked at. Nobody told me any different with red flags. And that was great because I was able to put my family, my kids, for a year. And when this is when things were really bad with the economy, then the bank upped it from 800 to like 1400, because as you know, when the property matures at 2 years, then they add in the value of the home, and they couldn't afford that, even though I negotiated down 1100. And then I was able to get out of that mortgage because I gave the gentleman another property that I had just gotten under contract in a neighborhood that he's fallen in love with. So, you know, Gene, these are deals that I'd love to do, you know, and I think you could tell in the tone of my voice. It just, sadly, I've had, you know, I tell people don't take this wrong, but if there was one reason you would ask me why I haven't gotten to the end of the goal line or the end of the race, I think it's because I've just had too many fruitcakes on the path, even professionals.
Yeah.
I mean, just, there's no other way to put it. So this is why I was saying in my emails that this is my focus, but I didn't want to go on there and sound like a chirping bird, because I know you would hear it every day. In my field, it's one that, you know, we don't draw those kind of individuals because of what's required. But the reality is I understand that. And I'm not going to give up on it because I know one day there's going to be someone who will be a permanent fixture and, you know, lead it to other things. So and there have been a few people I've done, you know, just kind of temporary things. And but, you know, they didn't have the definition of their resume where they wanted to expand things. They were just comfortable being, you know, just kind of like an entrepreneur who works out of their home. So.
Right. Yeah, everybody's different. I had, in fact, had an interesting conversation with a multimillionaire not too long ago. I don't know, 6 months ago or so. And he's in the real estate business, and he's got staff, and he does, you know, the kind of transactions that you're talking about. And, you know, he says, I've got these people that they just get this to this certain level, and then they're comfortable, and that's it. And he says, I just don't get it. I don't understand why they're not driven to go even further. But yeah, everybody's got their level that they strive for, and you know, who knows? You can't always predict where people are going to go, and you know, even if they're good this year, are they going to be good next year? You just never know.
Well,
so,
you know, last week one of the topics was like non-conforming. You know, that definitely gets my attention. As you know, where to go with something like that. But at the same time, I would rather consult the experts, pick the brain, just like you and I have as our careers were growing. So that's, you know, another attraction right there, as well as many, many avenues. You know, I have no pride in coming to Austin. If you were holding classes, there was just one time I went to a local REI group on a Saturday morning, and the only thing, you know, the only reason I went there because it was free and I love donuts, but there was a gentleman that said he was hired by Trump. This was a man who was sleeping in his car, and now he's a multimillionaire.
Oh yeah,
Trump hired him, and. What was so attractive was among the audience was he says, I will train you for 3 days and at $500 a pop and provide you with a full book, including, you know, contract samples of what you need to do in certain situations. I mean, that attracted me, and someone said, why don't you sign up? Well, it was real simple with my other commitments, and he was doing it imminently, especially since I was in two weddings over the next 4 weeks. that made it very difficult. And I tried to get together with him and like 3 months later, then he said, we'll do it 3 months after that. And where he said, hey, I'll have you come down to Austin. We had everything arranged. And then I called him on a confirmation and he goes, oh, well, my fee right now, he goes, you know, I get 25,000 for it. So, I mean, it went from 500 to 25,000. So that was kind of amazing. So maybe I should have just told my friend I won't be in your wedding because my future was on the line, or part of it could be.
Well, you never know. And you know, let's talk a little bit more after the call. I do have some more questions waiting, and we can talk about, you know, really which direction is best for you. And you know, you're in Texas, so that's good. And so I'll call you after this call, and we can talk more.
Okay. And I wish everybody good luck, because this is something that looks easy, and it's not. If as I like to say to our audience, if you have the gumption and if you have the wherewithal to move forward, yes, you don't have to use your money. Being a bird dog is nothing to be ashamed of, because scouts and professional sports teams, you never hear about them. But there's obviously reasons people get to the top, and you could be one of those too. All right, Gene, thank you. I'll talk to you later. Appreciate the time.
Okay, thank you. Kim, how are you?
Hi, Gene. I'm doing well.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
First of all, I'm so pleased that we're selling Chicago. Woohoo!
Yeah, Kim is one of the investors on that project, and we have all been through challenges on that project, and I know, Kim, that you're going to be one of the happiest people, just like me.
Nice to put in for everybody. Hey, I have a line on a 12-plex apartment unit that I'm looking at.
Oh, great.
It's 100% occupied. The rent rules have been really good for the last couple of years. In the last 2 years, there's only been 3 vacancies, and of those vacancies, the longest one vacant was 3 months. What kind of due diligence do you know of? Have you done any multiplex buildings like that that you could kind of give me an idea of what due diligence I really need to do in order to prove this as a profitable investment?
Well, I've done some, I've done some commercial real estate training. And I understand things like cap rate and how the value is based on a ratio of the cap rate and the this and, you know, all that stuff. So those kind of things are pretty cut and dry as far as valuing the property. But, I also have had many conversations with a man that I know that represents a hedge fund, and they loan against apartment buildings. And he's told plenty of stories, too, that I can share. And one of the first things that they did was, even though it might cost some money, is hired a inspector to, you know, really inspect the property. So that, you know, that's one of the things that you'll want to definitely invest in. And with the things that come up, that will be how you will negotiate your price, you know, further on. Where is this? Is this near where you live?
It's actually in Reno, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds, you got to look at what is the cap rate for your area, and the cap rate is basically, you know, what your return on your money, or what is the return on the investment. And you want to make sure that it's in line, that you'll be able to, you know, that it's in line for the area. For example, you can get, like in California, a cap rate of 5 to 8% is probably standard. Whereas you can go to, you know, Chicago and get a cap rate of, you know, 13 to 15%, or you can go to Birmingham, Alabama and get a cap rate of 20 to 30%. So, you know, those numbers are very area specific, and you know, there's reasons for that, too. I mean, if you are willing to take a 5% cap rate, well, then you're going to bank on appreciation of the building. So it kind of depends on what it is you want to do. Now, the best money to be made from what I've heard when it comes to properties like this is how can you add value to it? So, for example, if you've got 12 units, and, you know, again, I've got to look at my notes, but I remember that there's all of this, you know, mathematical formulas, but you can do some value add to the properties, such as, you know, if there's like one master account, electric account, then you can go in and have each unit separately metered, and that changes the way the numbers are all structured, and then therefore will add value. And the other thing that was suggested in that training that I took was like maybe renting a, you know, offering space for a cell phone tower, and you can collect additional revenue from that. So
like,
if you
what
got,
was that, by adding a cell phone tower?
Yeah. So if you've got extra land there, and you can rent out some of that land to, you know, for a cell phone tower. So that can increase your income. So it's you know, how do you increase the value? Now, in this particular case, you've got 100% occupied. So, you know, it looks like it's 100% occupied and stable, and people pay their rent. And, you know, it's just going to be a nice, solid, stable, long-term investment, it sounds like.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, my husband's got duplexes. And, you know, he's had them forever and ever. And, you know, right now, that's just what he lives on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's three of us that would be investing in this property. So, obviously our return would be proportionate to the investment that's brought to it. But if we had one of the investors actually wants to live on the property and be the property manager, and we're not quite sure how to structure that into the deal, if that should be a percentage of the investment or if that should actually be, we're not really quite sure how to structure that into the deal. I guess I should leave it there.
Yeah, you know, I always get nervous when you go into these kinds of deals with other people. You never know when, I mean, you got to talk to an attorney.
Okay.
CPA. Yeah. You know, when you get into this level, you know, it's you don't take anything casually.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, it's exciting, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually in a good location, and like I said, the rent rolls look really strong.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really good.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we can talk more about that a little bit later because I've, you know, got some questions about it, you know.
I'll give you a call sometime this week and we'll talk about it more.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
So,
Thanks for your input.
Thank you. Okay, Carla, we have not gotten your question answered.
No, I have a different question.
Okay.
I have one of those things that's dragging on, like you've experienced, that I'm on the mortgage with a joint venture partner in another state, and you know, I worry about the length of time this is taking. And so what I did is I called, you know, because I keep being told we're just waiting for the bank, but it's been 2.5 months, and that's a long time for a bank. And even though we know we have to wait on the bank, that's still a long time. So I've called, you know, other realtors in the local area. I've called other attorneys. I've called my attorney in the area. And basically, the answer is you can't hurry the banks. But I'm worried because I'm worried that the buyer maybe isn't qualifying or something, that is taking so long.
Well, you need to find out what's taking so long. I had one that took forever. I mean, longer than that. And, I mean, 2.5 months, I can see that happening. But there was one that the lady, and I think she wasn't a U.S. citizen. I mean, she was legal, but they had her name spelled wrong, and it took 6 months to get her name changed correctly.
Wow.
And, yeah, and then they went back and did the all underwriting all over again. And I was assured that, you know, if we decided to wait, that they wouldn't go do that. But, you know, we ended up selling it, but it took forever. There was one that took, like, about 2 months, and the bank said, well, our computers have been down for a week. And I'm like, you know, what is this, 1980s? Come on. In Nationwide, a big bank like yours, you know, and sometimes I just get a little upset and I just start telling everybody I'm going to have a contest to see who's the quickest one, that quickest bank that can close, and, you know, just sort of start a thing. But, you know, you got to find, you know, what's the problem? That's the thing that you don't know.
Well, I mean, the only advice that I got that I didn't follow yet was to call the buyer directly. Because the joint venture partner knows the guy. He's a doctor in California. You know, and I feel like that's maybe overstepping bounds.
Well, what about the buyer's agent?
There isn't one. These are just guys who invest together. They know each other. And so we didn't get a realtor. We didn't have to put it on the market. He just put it out there to his network, and somebody bought it.
Well, there should be a contract where they have to perform within a certain period of time. And if they don't, then, you know, you're out of luck.
Yeah, there's a sales contract, but,
it's
overdue. It's overdue.
Once you've invested 2.5 months of waiting, you know, you hate to have to go back to square one, you know. But
right.
If it's in California. Is this in California?
No, it's in the Midwest, but the buyer's out of California. He's a doctor out of California.
I'm going to tell him to get his checkbook out and write a check.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's just, you know, I mean, the last advice I got was, why don't you just call the buyer and see what's going on? I thought, it's not my network. It's my joint venture partner's network. My joint venture partner is an investor, you know, and does do buy and holds, and that's how he knows this guy.
Yeah.
So there's a relationship in place already. So I feel like that's overstepping the boundaries.
Well, you know, that's a delicate situation.
It is.
You know, yeah, and, you know, I know that you are, you know, I know your background, and I know that you're very sensitive to, you know, protocol and things like that. But I also know that there's probably other people in this business that wouldn't hesitate to pick up the phone and find out what's going on. So I'm not recommending one way or another. I'm just saying that, you know, that not everybody in the real estate business follow by the same rules.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll consider that. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. All right, 520 area code.
Hey, Jane, this is Sue Vassell. With respect to that wonderful lady that was just talking about her Midwest property with a California buyer.
Yeah.
We almost had to deal with the same thing with the property that's for sale right now. And our realtor came in and said, this gentleman wants to buy it, but he wants to know if you'll take it off the market while he's trying to determine if he can get financing, and once the appraisal is going and everything else. exactly. That's exactly what I said. I said, bottom line, right now, you're not giving me enough information for me to, number one, answer the question. But number two, I'm not taking the property off the market. So just because you got a buyer that's sitting there saying that they're going to buy it, keep selling it.
I know. I was furious one time because I had a property that was in a pending state, and I thought it was going to close any day. And when I, you know, reached out and said, okay, when are we closing? She said, oh, we have to cancel. The buyer never put up their earnest money deposit. And I was like, what? I mean, we put it in pending state for 3 weeks, and we still don't have an earnest money deposit? And, you know, that's one of the things that I, you know, I've learned the hard way. I have to check on, make sure there's a commitment in there.
Exactly. And even if you got a cash buyer coming in, then obviously the cash buyer is going to be a little bit cheaper than your on-market sale price.
and they can move faster.
Yeah, and until the cash buyer comes in and throws their money on the table, and keep it on the market.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, having that off-market time is painful, especially mm-hmm. if it's in the summertime.
Yeah, hard lesson learned, and I think we've all done it once or twice, but just want to toss that out there.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm just going to have Carla, because Carla's trying to ask. I'm just going to unmute Carla and have all three of you, all three of us on. Carla?
Well, there is earnest money on the table. There is a legal sales contract, you know, so that's why we're waiting.
Okay.
You know, for the bank. Because we're not, you know, we're not dumb and we didn't not take earnest money from the guy. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness, girl. I would never imply you're dumb.
No, you know what I mean, though. I mean, some people might do that when they're in a relationship with somebody like that, you know, but we didn't do that because I had told my joint venture partner, I don't care if you know him, we need earnest money. And so we got
right.
it. So I Good. Feel like I have had a cash buyer come through since this guy was under contract, but since he's under contract, it's a legal contract. So can
but has the contract expired?
Well, I'll have to look.
Right. If it's expired, I'd go back to your cash buyer.
Uh-huh.
And plus the fact, if the contract has expired or is close to expiring, that's a light, that has fired a light underneath this potential buyer to say, basically, you know, darling, love the fact that you want it. Here's your earnest money back. I've got a buyer that wants it now, unless you're going to take it and close tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is this can be a tough business.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and you know, the timing doesn't work. I mean, you know, we just listened to Kim. You know, she's been on my case. I'll be honest with you, and I don't blame her one bit. You know, this, you know, just these things, you know, can be frustrating. And I don't know, you know, your joint venture, your name's on the mortgage, and I don't know what leverage you have other than, you know, being the squeaky wheel, you know.
Bingo.
Yeah, well, I have been a squeaky wheel, but, you know, I get the same answer. We're waiting on the bank. We're waiting on the bank. And then I double-checked all that. You know, I mean, I did all my rounds and all my networks in Ohio, which were different networks, and they all confirmed that the banks are taking a long time.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
And then I get into the relationship thing because, you know, I try to look at business as business, but I also know that it's people also. And, you know, if I were to bring a cash buyer in and then the guy closed, then it looks like I've been leading my cash buyer along. You know what I mean? And then he doesn't get it because the other guy closes?
Yeah.
That's egg on your face.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just it's a predicament.
You know, I say this real estate business, I feel like I'm playing musical chairs, and I just hope that there's a chair for me when the music stops. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
We never got your question answered about the second position and in Illinois. And I really think the best thing you can do if you have a gap funder is try to offer something of value that they can use to protect their investments and still keep the hard money lender happy.
Let me ask you a question about that. You know, something we don't use very often is a notice of interest, which is a document that puts on the property that someone else has interest in the property, and it is not a lien, I don't believe. I've been trying to figure out if it's a lien or not, and I don't see it as a lien in anywhere that I look. But you cannot close the property without getting the person with the notice of interest to agree.
Right. And we did that actually on my Virginia Beach condo because I had it, there was some issues. The way we had the loan structured you know, that the other guy paid, you know, did the loan, and because we had it structured as a, you know, a certain base plus a percent, and the fact that they were going to charge based on the highest amount of what that percent could be, we said, well, let's back off a little bit, and I had it in a land trust, so I just made him the 100% beneficial interest of the trust, so it's his property. And that way we didn't have to file a deed of trust, but we both filed a notice of interest. So neither one of us could fill it out from the other.
So is a notice of interest a lien?
Well, it clouds the title. It clouds,
yes,
the title.
Clouds the title,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's, you know, there, it, you know, and I don't know if Bob is still on the line or not, but he is a hard money lender, and he likes being only first position so that he can have a friendly way of getting out of a deal that might have gone bad,
mm-hmm.
and that would be a deed in lieu of foreclosure. Now, if
right.
he took a deed in lieu of foreclosure and there's a notice of interest on there, then he would have to do some kind of negotiation with whoever has the notice of interest in order to get that off,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's where the risk is, you know, how... You know, how much is that going to cost? So.
Well, I was thinking about putting a notice of interest on my own house in Ohio.
Well, you know, why not? Why not? I mean, it, you know, cloud the title. Okay, I think we have Bob as part of the...
Oh, Bob, join the...
Hold on. Bob, is that you?
Hi, Jean. You know, I'm not sure that you want me to jump in at this point, but
oh,
but
no,
I'm happy
you,
to. You know, this issue of second positions or not from a hard money lender's or from any lender's standpoint is an issue of foreclosure and what options you have in foreclosure. As a lender, you look at how long it takes you to take possession of the collateral if the deal goes wrong. If you go a route that structures a deal that causes a lender, if it goes wrong, to take a minimum of 12 months, and remember it's a 12-month legal logistics time frame, which means it's more like 18 months in a state like Illinois, because it's going to take you some time to get an attorney, to get in front of a judge, to sue for foreclosure. Then your 12 months starts after your foreclosure, because it's a rescission period. So it's really, in Illinois, it's going to take you, if you have to do a hard foreclosure, 18 months. So think of it from a lender's point of view. Let's say a house is worth $400,000, and you lend 65% of that, you have $260,000, and you have to wait for 18 months, and oh, by the way, the collateral sits fairly low for 18 months. What's the value of that collateral sitting vacant for 18 months, and what's the damage going to be done to that? Not to mention the fact that, I don't know, as a hard money lender, you would have been making 15% on your money during that time. So I think you can add up all those figures and say, well, okay, if I have to do a hard foreclosure, it is potentially going to cost me this much money. Consequently, I'll be happy to do that, but I'll lower my advance rate by that amount. Do you follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Now,
Carla,
I'm really not saying this for your benefit, because
I have totally gone around circles on this.
So.
I totally understood it, yeah.
Yeah. The other side of this is to have a second in position and forcing a lender to have to, has no other option but a hard foreclosure. This is going to do damage to the borrower.
Mm-hmm.
Deed in lieu of foreclosure is not a legal process. The borrower hands over the deed, and there's no damage to their credit rating. They can walk away from the collateral as if the deal hadn't happened. Yes, they've lost their time and whatever money they have in the deal, but they can walk away without any damage to their credit report. So there's advantages for the borrower to always keep the transaction in a position where you can always just hand over the deed rather than forcing a lender to have to go to a hard foreclosure. and the event that causes this hard foreclosure or legal foreclosure is the fact that there's seconds, and a lender doesn't want to take over a deed and inherit a second. They just got the property now with a lien against it. Well, just again, you could certainly calculate, all right, a lender will give 65% of the value of the collateral minus whatever lien there is, then is another way you could do it. But that kind of gets silly. The point that I'm making is really the cleanest, nicest way to do the deal when you need gap funding is for the gap funder to become a JV, a joint venture, in an LLC, have the LLC be the owner of the property, and then the LLC is on title, which means the gap funder and the borrower have their relationship described in that LLC operating agreement.
And Bob, I've got the question: What if the individuals in the LLC file a notice of interest?
You know, I'm not quite sure how that works in Illinois, particularly, or other states. So I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. I can't address it.
Okay.
If a notice of interest is a true lien, then again you're back to having to do a hard foreclosure, and quite frankly, the lender does not want to do that because it just devaluates the collateral because it sits vacant for months, and you lose interest on your money for months, and the borrower will get a ruined credit rating for about 7 years.
Right. Yeah, I understand both sides. You know, a gap funder wants to secure their investment.
But you know, they can do that by describing their relationship in the operating agreement of the LLC. And then the LLC is on title with the borrower. The LLC is the borrower.
Right.
But, you know, it's not the traditional way of doing it. It's kind of like, you know, I hate to say shell game that we all play with these new relatively new land trusts, another way to hold a property and title. You know.
I know it.
And people who have been in this business for years kind of look at that stuff jaundicedly because they go, gee, I want a real lien against the property that I can record. And, I understand that.
Yep. Yeah, it's hard for me to educate people. And I say, but you're the part owner, you know. But I understand.
Well, as a lender, I'm willing to bend over backwards and be creative, but the way you got to compensate for the time that it would take for foreclosure. I love it when Carla says, "Well, how many times are you foreclosing?" You got to go, okay. But on the other hand, you know, how many car accidents have been in the last 20 years, and you haven't been in any, but I still see you paying for your insurance each year.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Right.
You know,
right.
I understand.
My heart goes.
I want to find a way to do this correctly and legally and profitably for everybody. But you know, everybody's got to look at each other's position.
Absolutely. The way that that I've worked it out is to have a good, solid joint venture agreement and sign a master promissory note.
Yes.
To the gap funder.
Yeah.
Just for everybody else's benefit. So, you know, that is one way to secure someone's position if they don't want to go into being an owner of the property.
Well, Carlos, anybody who can find a creative way to do it, you can.
Well, that's how I do it. Joint venture agreements and master promissory notes.
All right, guys, I'm going to get off the line here. I don't mean to take
your
time.
Thanks for your input, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, it's been over an hour, and if anybody's got any questions about the Chicago field trip, reach out to me. And if you've got any other ideas or anything you want to talk about real estate-wise, I'm usually around. And
I just want to...
Anyway.
Can I promote the Chicago field trip?
Well, don't let me stop you.
I went on the Chicago field trip in July. It was the second Chicago field trip, And I now have two properties in Chicago, and it would not have happened without the field trip and without Jean and the people that she had there explaining the market. I think part of it's not just all the how-tos of how to do things, it's getting to know the market as well. And it was very helpful.
Good, Carla. Thanks for that endorsement. Yeah, Chicago is can be a beast at times, and you know it's not to be taken lightly. Chicago. I know when I first started this, it was in Bakersfield, and it was easy, and the cleanup was easy. And Chicago is very different, but the profits are incredible if you can if you can sell it quickly, but. And a lot of them are selling really, really quickly. I know several that they sell within a few days on the market, so I'm really excited about that. And I think we're honing in on the right price point and the right teams. And so thank you, Carla, for the endorsement. I really enjoyed having you there. And this time we're going to be downtown. And a reminder, Carla, that as a previous attendee, you get 50% off, and I've announced that discount code in the Super Secret Society. So, you know, that's two of the bonuses right there. You get to be part of the Super Secret Society, and you get to come to future field trips at 50% off. So it's jeannorton.com/Chicago, and look for an invitation in your email. And it's the December 6th or 8th, the weekend after Thanksgiving. It turned out to be a good time last time. And we've got a nice downtown location near the shopping area and all the Christmas lights. It'll be a lot of fun. You can even bring your spouse if you want, or they can go shopping. And it's just a lot of fun. So I hope to see you guys there. Everybody, thank you so much for spending your Saturday afternoon with me. I really enjoy these kind of discussions, and I think this turned out to be a great call. Thank you very much, everybody. Everybody have a great weekend.